when we were on holiday a few weeks ago, several times we saw a flock of geese flying overhead. I don't know whether you've seen anything like that, but it is an amazing sight. That distinctive V formation as geese fly. But the formation flying like that isn't just for the benefit of bird watchers like me. It's actually essential for the geese. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 70% to its flying range compared to if each bird flew on its own. So whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to go it alone and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front. When the lead goose gets tired, he rotates back in the V and another goose moves up to fly at the front, so the load is shared. Apparently when the geese honk, it isn't just honking, it's the way the ones behind encourage those at the front. And when a goose gets sick or is wounded by gunshot and falls out, two geese fall out of formation, follow him down and protect him. And they stay with him until he's either able to fly again or sadly dead. Then they launch out and they find another formation they can join with. God's creation is absolutely marvelous, but I think it's just amazing the way that God has built into these birds how to care for one another. Really, geese are only able to cover the distances that they do because they work together. A single goose on its own would be so limited. But it isn't just geese that God has created with that need for community. It is just the same for Christians. We're continuing our series on the ways in which we grow as disciples. As a church, we're committed to making disciples, growing disciples, and being disciples. But those things don't just happen. God has provided us with the means through which we can grow as disciples. Already in this series, we've seen that we grow through prayer. We grow through study, through patience and perseverance, through service, and even through suffering. And as important as any of those, we grow through community. Let's turn to a passage from the Bible. Thomas is having a busy morning, not only music, but reading as well. Thomas is going to come and read for us.
This morning's reading will be took from 1 Peter 4. 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and sober mind, so that for be alert of sober mind that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers all over multitudes of sins. Over hospitality to another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. A faithful stewards of God, grace is various forms. Forwards of God, grace is very form. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may praise through Jesus Christ to him. Be that the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Thomas. I think that passage gives us three reasons why community is important for Christians. Three reasons why you will never grow as a disciple of Jesus if you try to do it on your own. And the first is, we need people to pray for and people who will pray for us. That's where Thomas began. The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Now, I guess that you might immediately think, well, that's obvious. Of course we're supposed to pray. And anyway, I guess that most of us do pray. We pray for our family and friends, especially when they're ill or having problems. And hopefully they pray for us when we're going through tough times. So, yeah, we don't need to be reminded about that, do we? But the prayer that Peter's talking about is related to our being alert and of sober mind. Just a few verses earlier, Peter had written about the lives that these Christians used to live before they turned to Christ. For you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. That was how these Christians used to live. But now as Christians, they had to be different. They needed to be alert and of sober mind. But of course, they still lived among people who did those things. So there was a constant temptation to be drawn back into that way of life. The people around them expected them just to be the same. So they needed God's help in the face of the temptation to kind of go back. They needed to pray for themselves, but they needed others who would pray for them. Now, I guess that you might well look at that list and think, oh, I've never been that bad. I don't actually know anybody who's that bad. But what about the other ways in which our society turns away from God's way of living? Gossiping. Backbiting. Negativity. Criticism. Moaning. The sins might be different, but the principle's just the same. We need to be alert so that we can recognize the ways in which our society lives is out of step with God's word, and we need to pray for God's help to be different. But not just to pray for ourselves. I need other people who will pray for me. Not just when I'm facing a particular problem or difficulty. I need people who will pray for me every day as I face the temptation to live like everyone else out there does. As I face the temptation to do just what other people do, to think just what other people think. I need you to pray for me. And I actually think that you need me to pray for you. If you have a chance sometime, have a look in the Bible at early on in Colossians and Philippians where Paul writes to the Christians there, and look at the prayers that he prays for them. He prayed for just the sort of things that I need you to be praying for me. They're the sort of things that I need to be praying for you. You see, in case you've not actually discovered this yet, being a Christian can be a tough call at times. Following Jesus means that you won't be following the crowd, you'll be going against the crowd, and the crowd will not like it. Praying for one another is so important if we are going to keep going. It's why our prayer diary is so important. It just gives us a chance to pray for one another. And actually, it isn't just that we need to be other people to be praying for us. As we pray, as we really pray, as we take this seriously, as we pray for others, then our confidence in the God we're praying to grows. And so as we saw right at the beginning of this series, it's actually through prayer that we can grow as disciples ourselves, as well as blessing others. So we do need community, because we need people to pray for, people who will pray for that us. I know I need that. And I think you need it as well. But you're not going to get that unless you're part of community. I think community is as important as well, because we need people to love and who will love us. Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins of hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now again, you might well be thinking, yeah, I've got my family, I've got my friends, I've got people who love me and I love them, so that's fine. Why do I need anything more than that? I think it's because real love isn't just to do with people I like, I naturally get on with, my family and friends and so on. Real love's often to do with how we treat people who just wind us up and are different to us. Peter says here that love covers over a multitude of sins. Love involves forgiveness. All of us do things to upset one another from time to time. Yeah, that hasty word. The thoughtless action. What's your reaction when that happens? To forgive? Or to bear a grudge? If you love someone, you will give them the benefit of the doubt. You will forgive them. You will want to maintain that love. We need that sort of community. And we need it because we need to learn to love not just the people who are like us and who we like. We need to learn to love people who are just different, who sometimes wind us up and rub us up the wrong way. And this is the thing with church. For reasons best known to himself, God has put his church together out of the oddest bunch of people imaginable. And if you want convincing of that, just come and join me here and have a look out. Where else in society would this bunch of people ever meet together? We are so different. And that means that sometimes we might just annoy each other. I came across this the other day. I love this. Isn't that great? If only it was longer. If only they'd done a whole series of them. But you see, the thing is, I actually need a community with people who are very different to me. With people who sometimes irritate me. So that I can learn not to respond like that, but so that I can actually become more like Jesus. I'll only really become more like Jesus as I learn to love people who I would never naturally love. So how do you feel about the other members of Christ Church? How important to you are they? As you look around church this morning, do you see people who, yeah, you don't mind spending an hour with them on Sunday morning? Or do you see people who you love deeply? And of course, there's a clear link with what Peter had just said. If you do love one another deeply, you will be praying for one another. So, do you love the other members of Christ Church enough to pray for them? Do you pray daily through the prayer diary? Love will involve praying. Love will involve forgiving. Love will involve hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. What if you made a point of meeting someone new at church and simply asking them out for coffee? That's offering hospitality at its simplest. Or maybe you'll be using the prayer diary and you'll come across a name and you'll think, I've no idea who that is. I've never met them. I didn't know they go to my church. Ask somebody to introduce you to them. And then when you've been introduced to them, you can tell them that you've been praying for them and how encouraging that will be. Love one another deeply. You see, to love your friends deeply is the mark of a good club. To do what Peter says here is the hallmark of a real church, a real community. I need community because I need people to love and I need people who will love me. And third, we need community because we need people to serve and people who will serve us. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. And again, it flows directly from what Peter had just said. If you love others deeply, you will want to serve them. But there's another reason for serving. It's because God has equipped each of us in various ways for service. So Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And what that means is that a failure to be actively involved in serving others means that you are rejecting God's grace and refusing to use what he has given you to bless someone else. God's entrusted you with gift or with gifts for you to use as part of his church here. So are you doing it? Do you look at the needs of the church and then ask the Lord if he's calling and equipping you to get involved somewhere new? Are you a faithful steward of God's grace in the form it's been given to you? And as Peter reminds us, it is as you do that that God is praised. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So you see, as you serve me, as you do something to help and encourage and build me up, yeah, I'll be grateful to you, but also it will help me and encourage me to praise God. And hopefully, as I serve you and do things to help and encourage and build you up, then that should lead you not to think, oh, what a nice guy that Graham is, but actually to praise God. As we serve one another, it leads to God being praised, and that's what we want as his people. And I know I do need people who can serve me. I may have a dog collar on, but it doesn't mean I'm completely capable and competent and don't need anybody else. I need you. I need you to serve me, and you need me to serve you. So if you're going to grow as a Christian, you will never, ever do it on your own. People do from time to time, with monotonous regularity actually, say, oh, I can be a Christian without going to church. It seems to be something that people feel they ought to say to vicars for some reason. And whilst kind of in theory that might be true, in practice it isn't. You will never grow as a Christian on your own. Can't be done. Because you need others to pray for and others who will pray for you. I need that. You need that. You need others who you can love and really be stretched in love. And you need others who will love you, because it's a lonely life without. You need others who you can serve, and you need others who will serve you. It's only as those things are happening that you will grow as a Christian. But if those things are happening, you will grow as a Christian.